Ois tes. Rav Nosson Zal says, V'chol zeh u'b'chinas Rosh Hashanah. All the different topics we discussed till now, Tikkun Ha'emunah, Tikkun Tavasniyuch, Tikkun Mishpat, all the different issues we discussed are all tied into the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. Kimavur Hashem b'mekoymoy v'hatoyra nal. As Rav Enazal explains in this chapter, Nikudimran, this was actually a shir that Rav Enazal gave on Rosh Hashanah, and at the end of the shir, he ties it all into Rosh Hashanah. This is the main struggle and effort that the great tzaddikim put in on Rosh Hashanah. Machmas she'oz tzrichim lahaloi so'emuna. Because that's the day when it's most important to elevate the fallen emuna. Shehu b'chinas malchus. We know that in Kabbalistic terms, emuna and malchus are synonymous. And Rosh Hashanah is the day that we're looking to establish Hashem's malchus. Hamelech, Hakodosh, you know, all the different things, which means we're looking to establish the Amuna. Because to the extent that we believe in Hashem, to that extent we crown Hashem. Because in our tefillah, especially on Rosh Hashanah, we show that we acknowledge that Hashem created the world and rules the world. And if a person wants to be involved in this avoida of elevating the emuna, he's got to follow the steps that are presented in this chapter in the Kutimran. For example, he's got to scream from the depths of his heart, as the pasuk that Rabbi Nizam brings over there. Shezeu b'chinas ma'shinoyagim loymar mizmor mimamakim b'Rosh Hashanah. This is why one of the changes in the tefillah that we make on Rosh Hashanah versus any other holidays is that we say Shiram Alois Mimamakim as part of the Shachris. Right before Bochu in Shachris, the Chazan says that special Shiram Alois, which refers to crying out Hashem from the depths of our heart. And Rabbi Nizal explained in that chapter in the Kudimran that when you're involved in elevating the Amuna, what happens is it causes an influx of Geirim. And when the Geirim are coming in, you have to make sure that they don't cause certain damage or harm that they can typically cause. V'alkein tzrichim tekef lebechinas koyach kiddush ha'samagini eretz, shemale mebechinas hechtem sori lebechinas bituchei choysim kodesh l'ashem bechinas tefillin. Rabbi Nizal explains in the chapter in the Kudimran over there that the protection from the type of harm that Geirim do comes from the Mogine Eretz. Mogine Eretz refers to a specific group of tzaddikim who are elite in Tikkun HaBris. They elevate Hechtim Soroi, which means Pegam HaBris, to the level of Pituchei Choysam Kodesh Lashem, which is a concept of Tikkun HaBris. Utzrichin Simcha Lechazik Koyach HaMalach Shelo Yaziku HaMacholim. And Rabbi Nizal in that chapter, Likud Imran, also discusses the fact that one of the ingredients that's needed for all of this is simcha, which gives strength to certain angels who help see to it that the food that a person eats shouldn't cause harm to him. Sheze b'chinas b'shimcha yegilun kol hayoyim hanemar al Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Nizal says, with this we could understand the pasuk which says that they rejoice with your name all day. B'shimcha yegilun kolayim. Gila is another word for simcha. So we see that simcha is one of the steps of the procedure on Rosh Hashanah. V'ikar hu gemar hatikun. Now, despite all of this, the most important piece to the puzzle is the completion of this tikun. Shehu b'chinas tikun ha-mishpat, which we said is the tikun of justice. Which we explained earlier, that means that when you want to elevate the malchus or the emuna, which has fallen into the mud, into the hands of the klipos, usually when you pick something out of the mud, some mud comes with it. And you're not ready to, that item isn't ready to be used unless you scrape off the mud, put the mud back in the mud, and simply take out the thing that you rescued from the mud. So here also we explained that when you try to bring this fallen emunah back into the fold, very often there's klipos and tumah and filth that symbolizes tipas esav yishmoel that tries to come with it. And you're not going to be successful in what you're doing unless you're able to push them back down and not allow that Tipas Eser Yishmael to be incorporated, you know, with what you're doing. So Rav Nosson Zal says, Ukemuvan Batoira Nal, as is explained in this chapter on the Kutum Ran that we're dealing with. She'ikr Gemara Tikkun B'Shleimus Subchinas Tikkun HaMishpot. Kemuvur L'mayin Sham, that Rabbeinu Zal emphasized there that even though all of these other pieces are very important, the Tikkun HaBris and the Tikkun HaMot, the most important, the Makeh B'Patish, the thing that completes the job, is the Tikkun HaMishpot. V'zeh Ikr B'Chinas Rosh Hashanah. And that's the main focus of Rosh Hashanah. Ki hu yoim ha-mishpot. That's called the Day of Judgment. Ki oz Hashem Yisborach yoyshev al kisei ha-mishpot. That's the day that Hashem sits on His throne of judgment. Ve'onu tzrichem la'asoyk betikin ha-mishpot. Shaydei zeh yoytzi ko'or mishpoteinu. And we, Klal Yisrael, have to see to it that during Rosh Hashanah, we should be involved in tikin ha-mishpot so that Hashem will bring forth the proper justice for us. The Tikkun HaMishpot Koshemoi. Rav Nosson Zal says here that as far as each and every one of us trying to do our own Tikkun HaMishpot, it's a very difficult item. Behu Avoida Gidoilo V'Dako Moid. It's a very great, fine type of Avoida. Very, very delicate. Ki Tzrichim Daiko Lahawis Mebchinas Hechtem Lebchinas Choisim Nikdusha. Because on one hand, you have to be able to take a certain item of tumah and elevate it into the kedusha. V'yafal pikein yigarish b'chinas tipas esav yishmoel shelo yikalkolos hamishpot. And you have to be able to scrape off, to reject certain parts of it and accept certain parts. So it's a very delicate process to be able to filter out and realize what part of the tumah to integrate into the kedusha, to turn it around, and what part to reject and see to it that it doesn't get anywhere near. Al kein tzrichin lismoich rak al gedoile hatzadikim hayoidim lasik ozeh koroi. Therefore, we simply have to rely on the great tzadikim who are qualified to do this properly. Va'anachnu ba'aniyusenu loinei damanase. We, in our state of poverty, of brains and other things, we don't really know how to do this exactly properly. It's just that whatever we can draw from the Torah of the Tzadikim, we have to try to draw as much as we can on our level of what applies to us. But we need to know that as far as the practical application of Tikkun HaMishpot, and to be able to know who to be Makarav to Klal Yisrael and who to reject, and this whole Avoda called Tikkun HaMishpot, this is something which 99.9% of it is carried on by the leading tzaddikim. This is their area. It's not for regular people. V'hinei mavur shom, Rav Nosson Zal says, it's explained in that chapter called Likutei Moran, shegam hatzadik hagodol v'hanoiro v'haniskov moed, even the great, awesome, exalted tzaddik, gam hu einoi zoich lebchinas Tikkun HaMishpot, Kiyim al yedei tmimus upshitus. Even he will not be able to succeed in this item called Tikkun HaMishpot unless he's able to be super simple and straight. Shemashlich kol chochmosoi, where he's able to put aside all of his own personal ideas and thoughts. Umashlich atzmoi letoich refesh vetit b'shvil Hashem Yisborach. And he's prepared to throw himself into mud and filth for the sake of Hashem. Vaidezeh, Hashem Yisborach choymel olov. Rabbi Nizal explains over there that it's only the tzaddik that's capable of doing that and willing to do that. He's willing to throw himself into dirt to please Hashem. That tzaddik, Hashem takes pity on him. Umegale lo yisoy darki Hashem. And Hashem reveals to him the true mishpot, bechinas tzadik v'toivloi tzadik v'raloi, shezeo bechinas tikkun HaMishpot. Rabbi Nisal explains in that chapter in the Likutei Moran that this is the epitome of tikkun HaMishpot, when a Jew rises to a level where he's capable of understanding the ways of Hashem, the justice of Hashem, which many times seems to be way, way, very illogical. And Rabbi Nisal says over there that in order for a Jew to be given that level of understanding, even the big tzaddikim, the tzaddik has to be on a level of love for Hashem that he's prepared to throw himself into mud for Hashem. And it's only based on that that Hashem rewards him with this super high level of knowledge. Umevoyer Shom, Rabbi Nisal explains over there, Shezeh HaTzadik Yochoy Lahalois Es HaMishpot Me'imkei Tohoimois Shenof HaLashom, that a tzaddik of that caliber will have the ability to elevate justice from the places that it's fallen into. It's fallen into very low places. Bibchinas Mishpotecho Tohoim Rabo, there's a pasuk that says, Hashem, your justice is all the way in the deep, deep, in the great deep. Umishom humale oisoy. And this tzaddik will have the ability to elevate it from its hidden place and bring it to light. Bring to light and clarification the justice of Hashem. Ayin shom besoif ha-Torah heitev. Look over there at the end of the chapter on Likutei Moran, Torah Hei and Likutei Moran Tanina, where Rabbeinu Zal explains this very elaborately. He elaborates on this point. Nimtza. So therefore we conclude over there, She'ikr tikun ha-mishpot hu'al-yidei t'mimus. That the main tikun of mishpot is dependent on t'mimus, which means simplicity and sincerity in serving Hashem. Now, to give you the perfect example of this, we know that the example of Tmimus in Yiddishkeit is Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is called Ish Tam. And Yaakov Avinu is also called Emes. There's a pasuk that says, Titein Emes Liyakov. Emes is the ultimate mishpat. The ultimate injustice is truth. So that we know that Yaakov Avinu, who was given this title of Tmimus, simplicity and sincerity, that's what gave him the ability to be zeichet to the ultimate truth, to understand the truths of Hashem, to understand Hashem's definition of justice, and how just and true it really is. This is something that each and every one of us has to draw upon ourselves. Leilech bozeh kol yomov. To try to go in this path our entire lives. For each one of us to try to get to a place where our conduct throughout the day is with simplicity and sincerity. And if a Jew is zoicha to that himself, then when he plugs himself into the tzaddik, he'll be able to draw on the tzaddik's tikkun ha-mishpat. Ki ha-tzaddik hanal betoket kidushosoy v'chachmosoy hanizgovo, because the type of tzaddik we're talking about here, who's on a very high level of wisdom and holiness, who mesalek ha-koil, this tzaddik, when it comes to serving Hashem, he puts all of his wisdom and deep knowledge in the closet, who mesnahek atzmoy betmimus, and he conducts himself before Hashem with the utmost of simplicity and sincerity. And he's prepared to throw himself into all kinds of mud and filth in order to please Hashem, in order to serve Hashem. You have the example of a prince or a very high-level servant of the king, an officer in the kingdom, who again, when he sees the king is thirsty, suddenly he's prepared to jump into a river with his royal garments on, you know, or he's prepared to to do whatever needs to be done, to climb a tree, to serve the king. And when he shows that, when a person who's truly on a high level of royalty and regality, and he shows that he's also willing to act like the most simplest servant to serve the king, Rabbi Nizal proves from Psukim in that chapter on Likutei Moran that there's the term Ben and there's the term Eved. There's the son and the servant. The king has his princes, which are his own children, which are royalty and regality, and the king has his servants. There's a pasuk that says that when the king's son is prepared to serve him like a servant, then the king rewards him with the keys to his highest level treasures. You know, all the secret knowledge of the king, he's prepared to reveal to his son who's willing to serve him. Which means a tzaddik who has the highest levels of depth of knowledge, and yet he's prepared to serve Hashem like the simplest simpleton. The reward for that is that he's given the ultimate knowledge, which is this mishpat, the understanding of Hashem's definition of justice. Ve'ikar ha'refesh v'hatid shemash lechatzmoy l'shem mishpulashem izborach, u'mashem moyrid esatzmoy, u'mashlich esatzmoy be'imkei tohoymois, she'em ekoymois hanemuchim v'amaluchlochim ha'oid shel elu shenaflusham b'avoynoseim v'tavoyseim arois. The best example of a tzaddik throwing himself into mud and filth is when the tzaddik is willing to lower himself and associate himself with those Jews who have fallen into mud and filth as a result of their sins and their evil desires. They've dropped themselves to a super low level where, again, on a spiritual level, they're filthy and muddy and slimy and smelly. And the tzaddik doesn't close his eyes to them. The tzaddik goes all the way down to where those people are at and tries to attach himself to them in order to elevate them. Shezeh ikar bechinas nefilas hamishpot ad hatohim. This is the main thing that causes the justice of Hashem to be buried so deep, to be hidden so much from man. The fact that man allows themselves to fall to such levels, of course, how can they expect to understand Hashem and that Hashem should show them the true meaning of justice and everything when they've allowed themselves to fall to such level? V'hatzadik begoidel rachmanusoy al tzar hashchina of Israel, and the tzadik, out of his great pity on Hashem and on the Jewish people, he throws himself down there in order to elevate those fallen neshamas that have fallen into there, from the lowest depths, to try to elevate them and bring them up from there. Shezehu ikar bechinas refesh votid shemash lecha tzadik atzmi l'shom mishpil Hashem izborach. This is the best example of the mud and filth that a tzaddik is prepared to throw himself into in order to please Hashem. Ki Hashem izborach chofetz chesed. Because Hashem wants to be nice. Hashem wants to be good. Hashem wants to give out lollipops, not bullets. Hashem isn't looking to kill and punish. He would love to reward and everything. V'roitze b'tshuvoson shel rishoim. And Hashem wants the rishoim to do tshuva. V'enoi chofetz b'misoson. He doesn't want them to die. V'choyshev machshovois laval yidach mimenu nidach. Hashem tries to figure out all kinds of plans to see to it that no Jew should have to be rejected and left out from the fold. V'hatzadik shehu yodea goydel tshukas Hashem izborach lazeh. L'hach zreil of nidachov. The tzaddik, who is the one who understands best how much Hashem wants to see these people come back and become good, al kein hu moiser nafshoi b'shviloi. Therefore the tzaddik puts his own life on the line for this. U'mashlich atzmoi l'mekoy mois nemuchim kleila. And he throws himself down to these filthy, dirty places. Ki ze ikar hanachas ruach shel Hashem izborach. Because this is the most outstanding pleasure of Hashem. Shezeu b'chinas mashomar Dovr HaMelech. This is the symbolism in what Dovr HaMelech said. All the other kings sleep until 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, and they live an easy life. V'ani yodi miluchlochois bedam b'shapiru b'shilya. And I have my hands dirty with blood and embryo sacs and other things. As is explained in a play in Chaim Aran, where Rabbeinu Zal said that expression about himself. That again, what Dovr HaMelech was referring to was that there are certain tzaddikim who prefer to find big rabbis and to learn with them. Because again, it's nice, it smells delicious, it's aromatic, it's beautiful. Whereas those tzaddikim who are willing to take in to their group, they're willing to take in people who come from very low places spiritually. Again, that tzaddik has to take a lot of heat for that, and a lot of insult, and a lot of embarrassment. Look who comes to him. Look, imagine what kind of big tzaddik he is if he has these kind of guys hanging out with him. and all kinds of insults and embarrassment that comes from that. The Alkane, and therefore, Rav Moshe Zal says, Kol echod sheroitze l'rachim al atzmoi, any Jew who wants to take pity on himself, v'roitze l'alois me'oimek nefilosoi, and he wants to be able to pull himself out of the super deep place that he's fallen into, kol tikunoi al yedei tmimus. The person's entire tikkun is dependent on sincerity and simplicity. That's the prerequisite that he's going to need to be able to plug himself into the tzaddik no matter where he finds himself at the time. Even if he's in the lowest, lowest place. Because a tzaddik is the ultimate example of sincerity and simplicity. And the tzaddik, when he finds another person who's sincere and simple, then the tzaddik plays straight with that guy. The tzaddik will be perfectly straight with that guy and help him in every way that he knows how to. Because this is one of the things that we say about Hashem on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. In one of the V'chol Maminins, we say, V'chol Maminim Shehu such and such, Hatom Umitamom Im Tmimim. That Hashem is the epitome of straightness and simplicity, and Hashem is straight with those people who are straight. Shekol mi shemamshich atzmai ledarki atmimus, any Jew who will draw himself to this type of style and this type of attitude of being super straight and simple, not crooked, not phony, and not with tricks, not looking to play tricks, not looking for shortcuts, not looking to all this kind of stuff, afim nofal betavois of litohimois, even if that Jew, based on his evil desires, has fallen to super low places, kamoish nofal, yochel lihikolel bitmimus hatzadik, he'll be able to plug into the sincerity of the tzaddik, shehoi the satzmei l'shom, who lowers himself to there, the yochoi lalo is veloshu l'shem yisbaruch ha'idezer. And that'll be a rope that'll pull him out of where he's coming from. Ki ikar tikun kol odom, hu'al yidei b'chinas tikun ha'mishpot. Because Rav Moshe Zal emphasizes the most important tikun of a Jew is this tikun ha'mishpot. Ki tzorich kol odom lechalkel dvoro ba'mishpot. Now Rav Moshe Zal is switching lanes. He's plugging into a different chapter on Likutei Moran, chapter 2 in the first half of Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal says that tefillah is a sword. So a person has a sword, he's powerful? Baloney! If a person has a sword and he starts slicing off the guy's toes, his enemy's toes, by the time he gets to the second toe, his enemy will hit him with a rock in the head and he'll be dead with the sword. So big deal, you cut off two of his toes and he killed you. So Rabbeinu Zal emphasizes in that chapter in the Likutei Moran, if a person has a sword, that's not good enough. You need to know how to strike with the sword at dead center, at the bullseye, at the heart. And Rabbeinu Zal explained over there that tefillah is called a sword. There's a pasuk, Roi mamois keil bigroinam, they praise Hashem with their throats, v'cheref pifio is piyodam, and they carry a double-edged sword in their hands. Rabbeinu Zal says that a person has to see to it that his tefillah should have a lot of mishpot in it, a lot of judgment in it, because judgment is the concept of centering something. Where a mishpot, a trial, is where they try to find out what the compromise is or what the truth is between these two opposites. This one says day and this one says night, and the judge is trying to find out where's the middle, you know, where's the truth in all of this? So Rav Moshe Zal says, Kitzorech kolodom lechalkel dvorov b'mishpot. A Jew is required to nourish his words with mishpot. Sheyishpot esatzmai b'choleis al chol dovor. That whereby a Jew should be judging himself constantly about every single item that he's doing. V'chol ha'pigomim chas v'sholem. And every single sin that a person does, everything he does wrong. Hey, b'chinas kilkul ha'mishpot. Implies the fact that he's going off that straight path. She'enoi misnahe kemishpot ha'Torah, because he's not conducting himself according to the justice of the Torah. The Torah says that this is the way to do it, and he's doing it differently, so he's out of line. Because the Torah is Hashem's book of mishpotim, of laws and justice. V'ikar kilkuloi al yidei chochmois rois shel olam. And the main way that people get themselves into trouble and get messed up is by following the wisdoms of the world, Shehem Bechinas Pegama Mishpot, which are the epitome of messed up justice. Dahainu, Rav Nosson says, let's get specific. Dahainu, ma shenit melekol echod ki'ilu ha-shenizborach einoi misnaig ha'imoi b'mishpot ha-yoshar v'atzedek. It appears to each person as if Hashem isn't really treating me properly. Ki'ilu yev shaloi lamoi b'nisoyin. Hashem is giving me a set of circumstances where it's impossible for me to succeed in life. I can't do this. I can't earn a living. I can't learn. I can't get married. Because Hashem is giving me, in my situation, it's impossible, based on all the circumstances that Hashem has put me in. Kifimash Hashem is borach misnagim. Based on the deck that Hashem has dealt me, how can I possibly be religious? How can I possibly be a tzaddik? How can I possibly fulfill all the obligations of the Torah? Ki roiv ho'ilam tzoyakim she'enom yecholim la'avodas Hashem yisborach machmas chisaron ha'parnosa. Because the majority of Jews and religious Jews claim that they can't really serve Hashem well, they can't really daven with great kavanah, and they can't really spend time learning and doing mitzvahs. Why? Because it's simple, parnasa. I mean, of course, if Hashem would have created the world where he deals each guy $1 million, then of course, that when I would daven shachris, I wouldn't have my mind on how I'm going to feed my family the next day, all of these things. But Hashem didn't do it that way. For whatever reason, I understand Hashem's ways, but the bottom line is, it's sort of Hashem's fault. Because Hashem created the world in such a way that there's this chisor na parnosa, and that's the excuse of the majority of Jews as to why they can't really be so religious. Nim lefi daitom chas v'sholom, Hashem yizborach ma'avei samishpot negdom. Based on their understanding, it appears that Hashem has sort of wronged them to a degree. Sheloitze sheyasu ma'ashem b'koicham. Hashem is expecting, I mean, here again, I learned Shulchan Aruch, and it talks about learning all day, and it talks about mitzvahs, and it talks about davening with a clear head, and I know that Hashem can't really expect that of me, lasik batoyra v'avoida b'chison parnosa, because it's based on my struggle for parnosa. How could he possibly expect it of me? Avul ha'emes b'vadayena kein, whereas the truth is, these people are wrong. Kitzorich kol echod lehamin, because each and every single Jew has to believe kitzadik Hashem v'yoshar mishpoto, that Hashem is 100% justified and just in everything He does. Ubevadai einoy bo betrunyim b'riyosov, and Hashem is definitely not presenting us with a no-win situation. Trunya means we can't win. Hashem would never expect from a person to do what he's not capable of doing. And Hashem certainly understands and realizes that this is the main test of this person. That the person, with the pressures that he has, despite those pressures, should still be able to grab a couple of minutes or a couple of hours for Torah and for Avoda. K'moy Shom Razal, as the Gemara says, Kol ha-mekayim es ha-Torah me'oymi, that any Jew who is zeiche to fulfill the Torah when he's poor means when parnas is a major struggle, Hashem promises him and guarantees him that Hashem will improve his situation and he'll be zeiche to fulfill the Torah from a position of wealth. And so too regarding everything that a Jew goes through. Because the truth is that the main reason why Hashem has put us in this world is for tikkun hamishpat, to bring forth the ultimate justice. Watch how Rav Nosson Zal is going to show how the whole reason why we've been put in this world is for the sake of justice, which means Dahainu sheyekabel schoroi b'mishpot, which means Hashem wants to give us reward, payment and everything, but He wants us to deserve it. He could give it to us as a freebie. Hashem could dump each one of us on Millionaire's Row, but that wouldn't be mishpot. That wouldn't really be the epitome of fairness and honesty and justice. V'lo yoichal nahamo dekisufa. Hashem did not want us to be eating bread of shame. The Gemara says that when a human being is given something for free, they're embarrassed. No matter how much they enjoy it, there's a certain element of shame and embarrassment when you know you got something for free. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. You didn't do anything to deserve it. Whereas when a person works for something and earns or deserves what they get, the level of pleasure that they get from that is a completely different level. The Sifrei Kabbalah explained that that's the reason why Hashem put us into this world. Because on one hand, a person could ask a simple question. We start off upstairs. We start off somewhere in Gan Eden, somewhere in these holy places above. Hashem sends us down to this world with all of its pitfalls and everything. And our mission is to get back up there. Why doesn't Hashem save all of that travel expenses? Why doesn't He simply leave us in that wonderful, sweet-smelling place that we were in to begin with? The Arizal and other Mefarshim explain, because even though it was enjoyable and pleasurable, the maximum pleasure that we could achieve at that point is 98%. Because there's something missing from the pleasure and joy when it's given to you for free. Whereas if the person could be made to feel that they earned it, they did something for it, then they could achieve 100% pleasure. And that's the whole reason why Hashem sends us down here and puts us through this whole minefield and battlefield, so that those few people who will work at it and succeed, when they get back up there, their pleasure will be a complete pleasure. A pleasure where they'll feel that they worked for it and deserved it. V'zeh kol ma'alosoy al kol hamalochim. This is the advantage that Jews have over angels, in that the Jew has free choice, the Jew is put through all of this, and the angel isn't put through the grinder like this. Therefore, if a Jew wants to believe in Hashem, if a Jew wants to think that he has faith in Hashem, he must believe 100% that Hashem is 100% righteous and just with me. And Hashem does not give anybody a test that the person can't handle and can't pass. Afal pi shelefi sichloi kosheloi lamoi binyonim elu shayvrim alav. Even though, based on my level of intelligence right now, it seems to me that it's very difficult or impossible for me to deal with the things I'm being dealt with now, with the things I'm being given to deal with. This is one of those places we have to take your intellect and your understanding and get rid of it. Put it away. Throw it away. And activate the faith inside of you. Your faith in Hashem, that this is your best friend, and there's no way in the world He would ever do anything to harm you. And there's no way in the world He would give you a no-win situation. That Hashem's ways and justice is straight. And it's definitely proper that I be put through what I'm being put through in this world, the tests and everything. Whether it's in poverty, whether it's some people going through the test of poverty, or whether it's the attacks of all kinds of evil desires or thoughts that bombard me. Ukemay Shom Razal, as the Gemara makes a statement in one place, Hillel Mechayev Aniyim, that if any Jew thinks that he's going to be able to come up to heaven and say, Hashem, I know that probably there's angels here who think they got me. They think that they're going to be really happy because they're going to get to see me going into Gehenna, but Hashem, I'm ready for you and I'm ready for them. I have the perfect alibi, the perfect excuse, where there's no way in the world you're going to get me into Gehenna. You know why? Simple. Person in my state of poverty, there's no way in the world that I could have studied Torah and done mitzvahs and stuff. It's obvious to anybody. Hashem is going to say, bring in Hillel. Bring in Rabbi Hillel. And they're going to bring in Rabbi Hillel, and they're going to show this person a video of what Hillel's life was like, what kind of poverty he had. Couldn't afford the tuition for the yeshiva, so he climbed up on top, listened in, and when it snowed, he stayed up there, and they found him later on covered in snow. They had to peel off the snow from him. That's how he showed that it's possible for a Jew to study Torah, even in the most extreme situations of poverty. So the Gemara says that Hillel, mechayev aniyim, Hillel will be used to incriminate anybody that's going to try to use poverty as an excuse as to why they couldn't be religious. Yosef, mechayev harishoyim. Yosef HaTzadik will be used to incriminate any person who's going to say, I was given a test that I couldn't pass with women, They're going to bring out Yosefat Tzadik and they're going to show his test, what his looks were, how good looking. A person's going to say, what do you mean? A person with my looks? It was impossible. They're going to show him that Yosefat Tzadik was the most handsome person on earth, and he was put in such an, and he was, you know, an unbelievable test, and he was able to pass it. Rabbi Elazar ben Charsum Mechayev Washirun. And another person's going to come and claim, well, Hashem, there's no way I was able to study Torah and stuff because I was so wealthy. Just to take care of 8 of my 15 businesses took me 18 hours a day. There was no way in the world that I could have squeezed in any time to go to a shir at night or anything like that. They're going to bring out Rabbi Elazar ben Charsum, where the Gemara describes his wealth, unbelievable wealth, and despite that, he was one of the rabbis of the Gemara. Ubozeh klulim kol hamadrega shebolam. And by the Gemara listing these 3 or 4 examples, it basically covers all the scenarios and all the situations that any Jew could possibly have in this world. Ki ein oni me Hillel. Because there was never a Jew that was more poor than Hillel. Ve ein hisgaprus ve hisgarus kamayshoi lios vatsadik. And no Jew was ever put through a more difficult test with women than Yosef HaTzadik. V'chein ein oshir k'Rabbi Elazar ben Charsum. And no Jew's going to be able to come and say, well, my name was Mr. So-and-so, I was richer than Rabbi Elazar ben Charsum. Never happened. He was the richest Jew. Nimtza she'ikar hatikun al yidei tmimus. So therefore, Rav Moshe Zal says, forget all your logic and all your excuses and all your books that you've written where you're going to testify, you're going to be your attorney, you're going to justify yourself before Hashem. You better flush all of that justification. Because if your justification contradicts what's written in the Torah, obviously it's wrong. Obviously it's not going to hold water. That nimtza she'ikra tikana yidei tmimus sha'yidezeh. If a person will go with simple sincerity, ayidezeh ha'tzadik mekashiroi seladarkei tmimusoi, then the tzadik will take that person and plug him into his own tmimus, into the tzadik's tmimus, and the tzaddik will elevate the person to the place where the tzaddik is. And if a person finds that even after he used the utmost of tmimus, and he came close to a tzaddik, and he attached himself, and he's still getting clobbered, he's still doing averus and falling and everything, tzorech bedarkei hatmimus litzoik mimamakim. Then with the utmost of simplicity and sincerity, he has to cry out to Hashem from the depths of his heart. Ki ha-toira ne'utza soifa b'tchilasa, u'tchilasa b'soifa. Because Rav Nosson Zal says, the chapter in Likut Imran that we're quoting all of this from, that chapter, the beginning of it and the end of it are all plugged into each other. It's all tied together. So when Rabbeinu Zal, in the beginning of that chapter, on page 65, discusses the issue of crying out Hashem, and then on page 75 discusses the issue of tmimus, it's all one, it's all interconnected. The Efsher Levar LeKol Echod, Rav Nosson Zal says, it's impossible for me to explain to every one of you kama vekama hu tzorech lahashlich sichloi, how much a Jew is expected to put his own intellect and his own ideas and his own understandings aside, get rid of it, and to bring himself into this new world called tmimus, simplicity and sincerity, where if a person is zoche to that, then no matter what crimes he's committed, no matter what other problems he has, he'll be able to be brought up, he'll be able to be elevated. V'alkein be'emes tzrichim lozev limud godol. Rav Nosson Zal says you should know that this isn't simple. We're talking about simplicity and sincerity, and it all sounds very simple. Rav Nosson Zal says this is a tremendous limud. This requires a tremendous education. Lehisabek ba'afar ragli hatmimum, for a person to be able to roll in the dust of the feet of those super simple, sincere tzaddikim who serve Hashem with simplicity and sincerity. The hakshirim b'liboisam, whose hearts are kosher. They don't have junk in their heart. They're not pretty on the outside. You know, appear very religious on the outside, but in their hearts, all kinds of crookedness and tivus and everything. Ulehishtadel kol yomov lihiyos nichlal bebechinas hayeshivo shel atzadik u'emes. For a Jew to put in every effort his entire life to be zoiche to join the yeshiva of the true tzaddik, she'oisek belimud huamiti shel kiyum ha-Torah, where what he's teaching is not what they're teaching in the thousands of other yeshivas. In thousands of other yeshivas, they're teaching you how to be a smart aleck, and how to be competitive, and how to be pretty, and how to be cute, and how to be sharp. In the yeshiva of the tzaddik emes, what they're teaching is the true teaching of fulfilling the Torah. Not getting to know the Torah, not knowing what it says, but not practicing what it says. There, the main teaching is how to be zecha to fulfill each one of the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah to the best of your ability. Shezeh ho'ikar. That's the most important teaching in this world. Lahachnis emuna bo'ilam. To bring true faith in Hashem into the world. And to be able to extricate each and every single Jew from all the junk that he's fallen into. Rav Nosanzal says, this isn't the kind of thing that you can take a three-week course for, a speed course for. There's many, many laws, many rules that a person has to learn for this. And there's a tremendous depth involved in being zoche to get to fulfill what the Torah says. And this is all alluded to in the chapter in Likutei Moran that we're discussing. Shekosav Shom, where Rabbeinu Zal writes, Veze Bechinas Rebbe im Talmidim, Shenikra Yeshiva, Ayin Shom Heitim. There's a paragraph in that chapter in Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal begins by saying that all the different things we've discussed here are all found when a rabbi gets together with his students. Tikkun HaMishpat, Tikkun HaEmunah, Tikkun HaTorah, all those things. And a person who wants to have any pity on his own life, tzorich leilech al yodov val raglov, has to be prepared to crawl on his hands and feet, levakesh yeshiva amitis kazois, to search for, to seek out, and find this kind of a yeshiva. A person will say, what are you talking about? Just take the Dapei Zahav. There's like 6,000 yeshivas in there, just in Yerushalayim. What's the big deal? You can't walk a half a block in the city without bumping into a yeshiva. But Rav Nosanzal knew about that. And obviously he's implying here that of the 6,000 yeshivas, there could be 2.5 of them that fulfill this criteria. Because again, I mentioned this once before, that once when I was in America about 10, 11 years ago, there was a new yeshiva, not a brand new yeshiva, but a yeshiva that was putting out publicity for itself. And they put out like a 5-page brochure that looked great. And I read the whole thing cover to cover, and I noticed that there was one word that wasn't mentioned once in the entire brochure, Hashem. He was totally absent from their entire they were talking about midos and this and all kinds of interesting things that a parent would want to give their child. And again, no mention of Hashem. And I use this simply as an example, just as an example, where it's possible for people to be learning religion, it's possible for people to be learning Torah, and yet it's presented in such a way that the people will be learning it for 4 or 5 years, or 20 years, or 50 years, and you look at the person before he started learning, and the person 50 years later, and you won't see an improvement in the list of things that Hashem says you're supposed to see improvement. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, where the Mishnah says, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir says, Kol Haloimei Torah Lishma, a Jew who studies Torah properly, will be zeichet to the following list of items. Humbleness, fear of Hashem, Ruach HaKodesh, good advice, good sound advice, and a whole list of things. And again, you'll look at people, there exists the possibility in Yiddishkeit for a person to be learning totally detached, completely, from any of those things listed in that Mishnah. Now you would say, says who? It's number one, says who? And is this true in every generation? The answer is, let's go back not 5, 10 years. Let's not talk about 1995. Let's talk about the 1500s, when men were men, when they were real giants in Torah. Reb Chaim Vitalzal, who was the best student of the Arizal, who wrote all the writings of the Arizal, in his introduction writes, that he writes a little bit about his Rebbe, how great his Rebbe was and everything. And he writes, because of the fact that I know that there are some people in this generation that have problems with my rabbi, or that have problems with... I have one statement for them. Rabbi Meir refutes them. The Tana Rabbi Meir refutes everything they want to say. And he says, he explains, he says, because let all of these rabbis and learned people who have questions on my rabbi, the Arizal, let them take out a Pirkei Avos, let them look at what Rabbi Meir says, and then let them look in a mirror and ask themselves, is he talking about me? That whole list of qualities that Rabbi Meir describes, that a Jew who studies Torah properly is zeichet to, let them look in a mirror and they'll see that it ain't them. So obviously they did, somehow they missed the boat. Somewhere they went off course. And then let them look at my rabbi, the Arizal, and they'll see that every single thing that's listed in that Mishnah, he didn't miss a beat. He didn't miss one word there. Every single thing that's written there, that if a Jew studies Torah the right way, he'll get these 48 items. You'll see that the Arizal was successful in each. He was the epitome of success in each one of those 48 points. Why does Rav Nosson Zal use this kind of wording to be prepared to crawl on hands and feet? Why can't you take a bus? Why can't you take a Concorde jet? Why use what's with the hands and feet? In Rav Nosson Zal's days, they had wagons also. The implication is that a person who's looking for this kind of yeshiva, for this kind of learning, part of what he's going to have to go through is crawling on his hands and feet. Who crawls on hands and feet? Baby. He's going to have to be prepared to act like a baby. Because many people who want to act like intellectuals, they want to act like smart people or mature people or grown-ups, those people, they come into a yeshiva, they come in as if they know everything or as if they know something. Those people, when they come to this yeshiva, the yeshiva that Rav Nosson Zal is describing here, they say, what you're looking for is down the block or six blocks back. Because those people can't get into this kind of yeshiva. In order for a person to be zeicher to this type of Torah, he's got to be prepared to realize that he's a baby. That with everything he thinks he's learned about life's experience or about Torah or everything, he's got to be prepared to know that he's a zero compared to the tzaddik who's teaching in this kind of yeshiva, compared to the Arizal, compared to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, these super spectacular tzaddikim. Compared to them, the most learned Jew was an ant, a crumb in comparison. And those Jews who were prepared to accept that and to understand that were able to get into that kind of yeshiva. Therefore, Rav Nosson Zal says, "Umi sheroitze lochos al chayav." A person who wants to take pity on himself, tzorech leilech al yodov al raglav, has to be prepared to crawl on his hands and feet, levakesh yeshiva mitis kazois, to find such a true yeshiva, sheyuchal liskois al yodov leemuna shleima, where by studying in this yeshiva, he will be zeichet to a complete, perfect faith in Hashem, to believe in Hashem, solid, whether he's going through good times or bad times, no matter what, ulekiyum ha-Torah. And he'll be zeicher to fulfill the mitzvahs of the Torah, leval yoivad betoich hatohim o istachti yishenof l'shom, so that he won't go lost completely in the quicksand and everything that he's fallen into as a result of his averos and midos rois, kasher hu yodea benafshoi, as each person knows himself very well, certain ditches that he's fallen into, certain pits that he's fallen into, ki mimoi savoiseinu loiposko yeshivo mehem. Because Rav Nosson Zal says, this is for all of those people who say, oh, this is very cute. He's talking in the 1700s. Let him come to today's times. Even he would have admitted that there's no such yeshiva. Sheker. From the time of our forefathers, from the time of Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, Leiposko Yeshiva Mehem. The yeshiva never terminated. There was never such a thing that there's no such yeshiva. V'zeh b'chinas V'Yaakov Ishtam Yoishev Oyolim. This is why the Torah says about Yaakov Avinu that he was a tam. In one pasuk, it says that Yaakov Avinu was super sincere and true, and he lived in the tents. And the Gemara says, "Shehoya yoshev oyalim b'toich ha'yeshivos hakdoshos shel Shem Vo'Ever." Which tents did he live in? The tents of Shem Vo'Ever, the two leading tzaddikim at that time. L'lmoid shom darkei hatmimus v'emes lihiyos ishtam. Why does the pasuk put these two things together? That Yaakov Avinu was ishtam yoshev oyalim. The answer is because you know what he went to yeshiva for? He wasn't going to yeshiva to get a degree. He wasn't going to yeshiva to get a smicha. He wasn't going to yeshiva to be able to make fun of every chiloni he sees or every rabbi he sees. He was going to yeshiva to learn tmimus. Yaakov, Ishtam, Yeshvolim, the thing that he went to yeshiva to learn was this sincerity and simplicity. This is why the Torah testifies that Yaakov Avinu was zochet to tikkun hamishpat. As the pasuk says, Mishpat utzdaka beYaakov ato asisa. That Yaakov Avinu was zochet to mishpat to get to understand the justice of Hashem and the truth of Hashem. Bechinas mishpat lelekei Yaakov. As the pasuk says, there's justice to the Hashem of Yaakov Avinu.